Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you here with Power in the Word, and I'm excited today. It's a great day to be alive in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a great day. As you know, it's Thursday, and on Thursdays here on Power in the Word, we focus on women's issues and anything, not necessarily issues, but anything pertaining to being a woman and being a Christian woman, being a woman of God. So today I'm here, and today we have a real talk. We're just going to keep it real. We're going to flow. I'm joined by a very special guest today. She is my guest co-host today, amen, and I am so elated to have Tina Borsico with me. Tina is a life coach. She's a biblical life coach, and it's a good thing. Amongst other things, she is, of course, a woman of God and so many things, but we're not going to do a bio because we want to just really come to you as women of God who want to share with you about how to have victory in every single area of your life as a woman and as a woman of God. So, Tina, welcome to the broadcast today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today, Pastor Rebecca.
Wow.
You have no idea. I woke up this morning and I said, I'm getting on the phone with my pastor, my mentor, and my friend, and we're going to talk to other women and empower them today. That's the most important thing, besides kissing my babies and their foreheads and praising God that I could do today. So I'm excited.
Amen. Praise God. And I'm excited, too, just to have someone that has the same heart. You know, just really, really be on one accord here, and I believe that I can't do ministry with anyone who's not on one accord with me. And believe me, I'm not here just doing a radio broadcast. You know me, Tina. You know that I don't do anything just for the sake of just doing it. God has to get the glory. He has to get the glory. So when we were talking on last week, a couple of weeks ago, and you said that you wanted to be on, I said, well, let's give it a whirl. Let's give it a shot. You know, so today we are definitely doing that. We're giving it a shot, and I'm excited about everybody that's going to join us today to call in. Call in. The phone lines are open. The chat room is open. I just opened up the chat room for those of you who came early. So the chat room is open and you'll be able to come in and partake even via chat if you can't call in. So Tina and I are going to flow today. We're going to flow, and we might not agree about everything, but that's what's going to make it so much fun. We can respectfully agree to disagree, but we're going to flow. The same thing with the callers. We might not agree with everything that you say, but we definitely want to hear your opinion, and we want to hear your heart. Both of us are qualified to speak into your heart, amen. So we want to hear your heart on today. We'd like to open in prayer. Tina, you want to go ahead and open us in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, and I'm just grateful today. I'm grateful for who you are to us and not necessarily who we are to you, because we really are no one without you. As we speak into the lives of the women and the men who may be chiming in today, Lord, just let the words be multiplied and let people hear the heart and not the construct or the little particles. Let them hear the heart of the answer. Yes. Let them hear the heart of the conversation so that their hearts may be pricked and they will have an open love and affection and affinity for you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I want to give a shout out to all of the listeners out there, and Dana Neal especially, who let me know that she was going to be listening on today. Dana's always listening. Dana is such a blessing. Tina, you remember Dana Neal.
I remember Dana. She is a blessing, and I've been sort of watching her process and progress over the past year, and I thank God she's here. Hey, Dana.
Yeah, she's not on live. She's not live, but you just say, hey, Dana. Dana, you heard us, right? Hey. Hey, Dana. Praise God. I mailed the books. Dana asked me. She's keeping me on point. Tina, I gave away some books last month, about a month ago, and I just mailed them out on Tuesday. So for all of you who won books, watch the mail. This is a time that you can wait on the mailman, because he's bringing your books, and they're going to be a blessing to you. So watch the mailbox, and your books will be coming to you in a couple of days, a few days, or what have you. And I want to give a shout-out to Evangelist Luciano, who's in the chat room. God bless you, Evangelist Jose Luciano. God bless you. Good to see you, sir, here on Women to Women. Tina, do you have any shout-outs?
Well, I'm really not sure who's listening, but I just, you know, everyone is out there, because, you know, everyone is just significant, and we'd love to hear your voice today to share and to even give a praise report. I'd love to hear what God is doing. Give God a shout out.
Hey, amen. Give JC a shout out. Amen. Jesus
right.
Christ. Amen. Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you know, you know, really, that's the most important thing, that we are waking up every morning giving a shout out to God and thanking Him for waking us up. I woke up this morning aching in my body because I have been keeping some late nights over the past few nights. I've really been keeping some late nights, and the Lord just really touched me through my, He's been touching me in dreams, so I haven't been sleeping soundly. I've been dreaming a lot, and when I woke up this morning, I just prayed. I got down on my knees next to my bed, and I just prayed, and I thank God for my life. I thank God for my life, for waking me up this morning, for keeping me in my right mind. I thank God for giving me the strength to endure all of the trials and tribulations, all of the trials and tribulations that I have to endure. I thank God for them, because they're making me better, and they're making me stronger, and they are making me wiser. Who is the man that sings that song, the brother who sings that song?
Oh, I can't remember his name, but I know what song. I know what you're talking about, because I was driving down the road, and it was one of those days. It was one of those days where you felt like Elisha, Lord, ain't nobody doing what you told them to do but me. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And then that song came up, and I had just tears running down my face, and all I can just do is shout, drive and shout. I know people are looking in my car saying, who is she yelling at? She's by herself. I was driving and shouting, so I know exactly what song you are talking about.
Yes, amen. Never would have made it without you. And I bet that I can guarantee you, Tina, that that's the testimony of so many people, that they feel like they never would have made it without Jesus. And that's my testimony.
Amen. Amen.
That's my testimony. I was sharing with Pastor Anthony last night that God, I received some prophetic words over my life at the conference. There's a conference going on here online on Blog Talk Radio. It's the Kingdom Voices International Conference 2008. And that's here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Voices. And there are some prophets that have come together, and they have spoken into my life over the past 5 days, starting with Friday. So over the past 6 days, they've spoken into my life, and the word has been so accurate, and I've been so excited about the word that I've been receiving at this online conference. And Pastor Anthony was like, well, why are you so excited? Because you know you hear from God directly, because, you know, I hear from God directly. So he couldn't understand why I was so excited, but why I was so excited is because I'm at a point in my life where I'm going through so many different things that I feel like I'm at my, just when I feel like I had enough point.
Yes.
You know, I'm at that point where the Bible says that the Lord won't put any more on you than you can handle. And just when you feel like you've had enough, he provides a way out. Just when
Amen.
You feel like you can't go any further, God always provides a way out. And I told my husband, Pastor Anthony, that I felt like I was at that point where I didn't think that I could handle anymore, and God stepped in. He didn't necessarily provide the way out, but he provided release through the word. Amen. The word came to tell me to hold on, not to become weary in well doing, because
Amen.
God is getting ready to do something. Amen. God is getting
Amen.
Ready to bring me out and through and over. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So hallelujah. So there's even a promotion in store, you know, for me. There's already been a promotion. And that's a word for somebody out there listening. If you've been going through and you feel like you can't take it anymore, then the word is coming to you today through myself, Pastor Rebecca, and Tina Borsico, that God is coming to your rescue. He's raising up a standard against the devil in your life, and he's bringing you out. And not only is he bringing you out victorious, but he's bringing you out better. He's bringing you out stronger. He is bringing you out wiser, and
yes.
he's bringing you out elevated.
Yes. You know, it's awesome about what you're saying. I recently have gone through several shifts in my thinking, because no matter where you are in the Lord, there's some people who think, I know all the scripture that I need to know to keep moving, but that's not true, because it's not about the word, logos, it's about the rhema. It's when God takes his word multidimensionally and breathes into you like Adam, aspires you, and moves you. So no matter how much you think you know, the relationship with God on a day-to-day basis is what encourages and empowers us. So it's usually just a shift. It's a quick shift in thinking. It's a quick shift in perspective that makes you go, huh. One minute you're feeling, that's it. I've had it. I can't take no more. And then one word from God, by his Spirit, through his mercy and grace, changes the whole game, because you've changed in that second. And it's the most awesome, awesome experience that you can ever have.
That's right. And I just want to just go back to when we're talking about the word, because you know what? It's the word of the Lord, the logos, that
the
I have to store up in my heart.
Right.
In order for it to become rhema through the
That's
Spirit.
Right.
So what we have to do is make sure that we're continually storing up that logos, the word of God. I mean, we have to realize that the word is not just a written word. The word is life. The word is power. The word is living. You know, Tina, the word, the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Amen.
So, you know,
Amen.
We have to know that the written word, every word that is written is inspired, is God-breathed. So when we look at our word, Tina, you made such a valid point, because when we look at our written word, when we look at that logos, we can't just see it as words written upon pages in the book. We have to see that as our lifeline. You know, we have to see that as the very essence of God. Amen. So it's just so important that we are, even when we don't feel like it, you might not feel nothing. Tina, I know that you've read the Bible backwards and forward over your life, that you've been in this word. The Lord has had you in the word for a long time. And
yes,
you can
yes.
read that word, and you might not feel nothing while you're reading that word. But keep reading. Keep storing up that word. Keep feeding you, because what you're doing is you're not feeding your flesh, which is where you get your emotions from. You're feeding your spirit, man. You know,
and actually, it might hurt. It might hurt at the time of storage, because when you think about storage, I think about that movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. And you remember that when Moses first came to Pharaoh, he said store, because of the dream and the vision that he had about the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of feast. And actually, that's reversed. So when you think about the people with their shirts off in Egypt, and they're sweating and they're dirty, and you're shoveling and storing and shoveling and storing, that takes effort on your behalf, but it also takes faith to know that you are storing for that season of famine.
That's it right there. When you store up that word for that season of faith, Tina, that And so many times we get there in our walk with God, you know, and so many times when just when we don't think we can make it, God brings us a remembrance of his word. He tells us in Isaiah 55, you know, that his word is like the rain and the snow that come down from the heavens to water the earth so that the earth can bring forth fruit and in this season. He says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth, that it comes to flourish you. It comes to make things grow in your life. It comes to bring growth to you. And we have to always be reminded that his word, he said his word won't come back to him void. God said,
that's right.
God said that his word won't come back to him void. So, and this is power in the word. Amen. So we're here to remind you to store up the word of God for those seasons. Like Tina said, your seasons of faith. You're going to have some seasons where you're not going to be walking by sight. You're not going to be able to see nothing. You're not going to be able to see.
Absolutely nothing. And even the imagery that you just used, that comes from Isaiah 55, the snow and the rain. You got to think about the fact that the snow and the rain in our natural mind have not appeared from nothing. They're actually sitting in clouds waiting to be released on the earth, and with the right conditions, the right weather pressure, the right wind, the right temperature, those things will be released to water the earth. So when you think about the storage, it's cloudy. You don't know what you're doing sometimes. Sometimes you can't see in front of you. Sometimes you cannot see where you're walking. But at that right time, at due season, the rain is released and the snow is released. What you need to have will be released. And the funny thing about driving through snow and rain, I don't know about you, I can't stand it, because it's slippery and people start driving crazy. So at first it's going to look a little funny. It may not look exactly the way you said, Lord, I believe I receive X, Y, and Z. But it's going to come the way it needs to come, to sharpen you, to grow you, so that you can do everything that you need to do to be you, who is the daughter of Zion.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to welcome everybody to the chat room to be enlightened. Sean, good to see you. Honey Cheeks, God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. And everybody else, our guest, 325, Barb from the Recipe Box, Evangelist Luciano. This is Real Talk with Pastor Rebecca and Tina Borsico, and we've been just really talking about the word a little bit, but we're ready now to move. I'm ready to move forward. I want to talk about some real stuff that's going on in life today, and I want you all to call. We want you to call us and just talk to us about what's on your mind, or put it in the chat room. 2B is looking for a wife. He's here at Woman to Woman. He has made it clear. Sean has posted. Tina, you're not in the chat room. I don't know if you're.
I haven't gotten that swift yet, but I figure maybe next time I'll be in the chat room.
Well, listen, Sean McDowell, he's a motivational speaker. He's the author of I See That You Are Down, But When Are You Going to Get Up? He is a man of great, great, great insights. He's a talk show host right here. I'm helping you out, Sean. He's a talk show host right here at Blog Talk Radio. And Sean has posted a want ad in the chat room. And it says, wanted, a wife. Applications accepted here. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that, because the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and obtains blessings from the Lord. And so wherever you find some women of God, and that's what he's looking for, women of God, a woman of virtue who fears the Lord, he's saying, I'm going to put the word out. So, Sean, you know, we'll take your applications right in our chat room. So anybody who wants to apply to be Sean's wife, come on over to the chat room, and you might, your application might be picked up by more than Sean, because I know we have another man of God who's also looking for his good thing. Amen. And he comes by quite often as well. I won't call his name. I'll let him tell you that himself. But I was looking at Yahoo today, when I don't really get a chance to read the newspaper, but I do read the news because the internet gives you the news. Mm-hmm. And when I turned on my Yahoo account, Tina, I saw Victoria Osteen right there on the front page of my Yahoo News page. And it's saying that she's being sued by the flight attendant. And I don't know if you remember, but about 3 years ago, there was news about her assaulting a flight attendant, and they were actually, the family was actually thrown off of the plane. They were asked to leave the plane. Yeah, this flight attendant wants a public apology from Victoria Osteen, and she wants 10% of her net worth.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can believe it because, you know, I know just day to day when you're working with people, people ask you for some amazing things. They ask you for amazing things. And because Victoria is a public figure, she's a public face, it's a little more pressure.
Yeah.
Because everything you do is magnified. I work a lot with celebrities and what they call phenoms. And just to really sort of embed the fact that because you are public, you are representing your whole fan base, your whole industry, and especially as a Christian woman, that these events will become magnified in the eyes of other people. So yeah, I can believe it.
And check this out. They're also saying that the jury, they're having a hard time getting a jury because of just what you said, their celebrity status, that people are saying that they are starstruck by the Osteens, and they don't know if they would be able to be objective jurors in this case.
And very, very hard time.
Yeah. And I have one person who says that she has been blessed, and this was what blessed me, that she's been blessed by the ministry, and that she would believe anything that the Osteen said.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be hard for her to be a juror. So, you know, I thought that was something that was relevant to today's society. That we as Christians, I preached a sermon on Sunday, Can I Get a Witness? That we as Christians, we have to be sure that we are so enlightened, that we're walking so much with the Lord that people don't have anything bad to say against us. You know, the Bible says, let your light so shine, let your good works be so evident amongst men and women that they will glorify your Father in heaven. So, you know, when we have Christians in the public eye, it kind of puts a black eye on Christianity, and people begin to laugh at us and say, you know, I told you that, you know, their God isn't real and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I don't know. What's your viewpoint on that?
Well, my viewpoint is the same thing, but there's a slight variance. Because I also know that you cannot please everyone. So you could do the best you could, and I'm saying the best that you can. I'm not saying using this issue or this statement as a scapegoat to just be raggedy, okay? I'm saying you can do your best to walk right, to speak right, to talk right before God and man, and there will always be someone who will have an issue with you. Because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about God.
It's
about coming against their belief system, right, what they believe about God at that moment, and you being that representation of it, and them having something to say.
Yeah, but you know what?
Them having something to say. But I believe and I agree that as Christians, we need to walk in a way that's real. When I say real, I mean real, not just quoting scriptures, not just, you know, I love you in the love of the Lord, but let the light of God and the life of God be evident in your life. And the only way you can do that, you cannot do that in your own strength. The only way you can do that is by spending time with God, being in His Word, and being in a fellowship of believers.
Amen. And I didn't start this conversation. That's exactly why I started this conversation, to basically stress the fact that wherever we go, we are ambassadors for Christ. Wherever we go, we are witnesses for Christ, not just on the stage or in the pulpit, not just when people are, you know, praising God because of the words that are coming out of our mouths, but people will witness more so what we do than they will witness what we say. And in just the fact that this thing is going to court shows that something went wrong on that plane. Not saying that she's guilty. But something went wrong on the plane. It may not have gone to the extent where this flight attendant is saying that she was slammed up against the, you know, the wall and things of that nature, but they were asked to leave the plane. So something went wrong, and we have to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. So we have to make sure that we're not flying off the handle in public or in private. You know, we get our, if we get our private lives cleaned up, and I'm not talking about Victoria Osteen right now, but if we get our private lives cleaned up, then we won't be prone to act out in public. Like if I'm not cursing out my husband and my kids, and hear this, women of God, if we're not cursing out our husbands and our kids at home, then we go out in public, we're not going to be prone to curse out the cashier who gives us attitude, or to flip the finger at the man who cuts us off in traffic. You know, so, and we're keeping it real. You know, what we do in at home in private is going to come out in public. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Honey,
on a regular basis, I just tell them, remember this one principle. Private practice produces public behavior.
My God.
Public performance. So if you allow it to happen at home, because they're home and blah, 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 when it comes to kids, if you allow it to be in your personal space, it's going to leak out elsewhere when the pressure's on.
Amen. Amen. And we have a caller. Again, the phone lines are open. Look, this is not a conversation between Tina Borsico and Pastor Rebecca. We want you to call in and talk to us. I mean, this was just one topic, but talk to me about what's on your heart. This was on my heart today, so you can join in the conversation. We do have a call, and we're going to take this call. Amen. Praise God. Evangelist Luciano, you are on the line. Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Your program is always awesome, and I thank God for your program. Salute and I agree your visitor today on your program. I'm shocked because when you mentioned Osteen, that was the last person I was thinking of. And it's true. The Bible makes it clear anything that's hidden is going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. You know, and I believe as Christians, doesn't matter what level we are in the realm of the spirit or in the Christian walk, we need to live this Christian walk as a lifestyle, knowing that we're going to be seen, we're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Especially if we have a position like the Osteens, that they always in front of the TV tube and they always telling you, you know, have the Kool-Aid smile. And but I know right now they don't have that Kool-Aid smile now.
Right.
And you know, it's sad. And I it's sad that things like this has to happen. But at the same time, God's showing every one of us that, you know what, we are flesh and blood.
We are not God.
I don't care how small you have, how big your smile is, or how good you dress, and how good you use your words, but you know what? We are sinner that are saved by the grace of God.
Yeah,
amen.
You know, because again, they I mean, basically, I mean, I've been reading on their life and their mission and their ministry, and almost like they try to make Earth into paradise. Everything's good, you know. Get the best. And you know, the Bible says seek the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek the best. It says seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And, you know, and I thank God that, you know, I don't thank God for what happened to him, but I thank God that God is revealing that, you know, while, you know, we are not perfect. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the world thinks that we are perfect because we preach holiness. We preach, you know, living perfect. But at the same time, you know, in our own life, we need to be perfect, and that takes a long time. And with God's help, we could do it.
Amen. You know what, Evangelist, what you said about being perfect, we're not going to be perfect, but perfect. That word perfect in the Greek means striving. You know, that we are going to constantly be striving to be the best that we can be in Christ Jesus. And Honey Cheeks is in the chat room, and she was saying that Joel Osteen has blessed her. He has blessed her, especially when he holds up the Bible and says, "This is my Bible." And you know how he starts his program, "I can be what it says I can be, I can do what it says I can do." And all of that, you know, that he says, I don't have a problem with the gospel that he preaches, the part that he preaches. I just wish he would preach the whole gospel.
Amen, amen.
You know, there's more than one side of the gospel. And, you know, I'm not judging. You know, we're only talking about this because they hit the headlines. You know, we're not standing in judgment of them, but we're saying that we need to make sure that that word is getting in us and that we are living out the word of God. Look, you can't just be Christian in name only. You can't just be Christian when it's convenient. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. We can't just be Christian when it's convenient. We have to be Christian when it's inconvenient. When that flight attendant is getting on your last nerve. When somebody bumps into you and does not say, "Excuse me." When somebody hits your car and then lies to the police officer and tells the police officer that it was your fault. When your boss comes in and throws a stack of papers on your desk and some of the paperwork hits the floor. When your boss puts his finger in your face and says, I'm number one, that happened to me. You still have to be a Christian. You cannot punch nobody's lights out, nor can you. I know some people are like, "Well, I will punch them out." No, you can't be punching nobody out. You have to stand as an example. They say, God, the Bible says if somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other cheek and let them hit you.
And then you on your face. They mean the cheek on your face, because even sometimes we may not physically do anything. The attitudes of our hearts are just as open to scrutiny by the Spirit of God as the actual outward activity. So when I think about even this whole situation with Victoria, and I hate to say it because I've been on the road. I didn't even hear this story come up this morning. When I think about Victoria Osteen, I mean, it's just a great example of the fact that we are frail, we are human, on our own, that we need to always bring the presence of God everywhere that we go. And not just, you know, not to harp on her, but we've all had those moments. It's just that she's in the newspaper, and our stuff is not out there today.
That's right.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
Our stuff is not out there today. So I'd like to reflect on my own behavior when I'm listening to somebody else's story, so that I will not be judging them from an eye of criticism, but looking at me going, "Lord, help me to be that example, that ambassador as I'm walking out there."
And that's why we're talking about this, because the Bible tells us that we cannot get the little speck out of our brother's eye, out of our sister's eye, when we got a big old 2x4 boulder in our own eye. We have to make sure that we are checking ourselves. And I preached the sermon, check yourself. Check yourself, man and woman of God, to make sure that you're walking out this Christian walk, you know, that you're a man of integrity, a woman, and this is woman to woman, I don't know, but we have more, we have men here too. Pastor Anthony is here. God bless you, Pastor Anthony.
God bless.
I know you didn't want
to
speak. I know you didn't. Pastor Anthony covers us. He's always here when we're here, amen, and he covers us, so I don't know if he had anything to say, but men and women of God, we have to make sure that we are walking this walk. That's why I preach the gospel. That's why we preach the gospel that we preach. You're going to come up against some hard times. There will be times when you feel like striking out and hitting back. There will be times when you feel like physically fighting back. There will be times when your temper will flare. But the thing about it is, when you get into the word of God and you let that word of God get into you and do the work that God has ordained for it to do, you will find that those times become less and less and far and fewer in between. You will find that you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And when you find yourself meditating on God's word and delighting in his law, then you will find yourself to be someone who is with beyond accusation. You will find yourself the beast. And I believe God's word. God's word tells us
absolutely
that they won't be able to come up with any charges against us when we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So that's why I brought this topic up today, just to encourage the women of God and the men. Walk in the spirit and you won't satisfy the needs of the flesh. Amen. And
amen.
Pray.
Like to
pray.
Pray.
Pray for Victoria Osteen. Amen. Pray for Joe Osteen. Amen. They look like they have it all together. That's a public persona. But they have issues that they have to deal with when they go back home in their private time. So pray for them. Everybody has issues. I'm not saying just them. We all have issues. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We all have issues.
Okay. I want to add something to that, though, just a little bit of a perspective on our conduct, because sometimes we hear the word and it says walk in love towards your man, your brother man. Walk in love towards all the people around you. It also says give the other cheek when one slaps you on one side. There is a perspective that I like to drill down into that hit me one day when I was trying to make myself be kind and loving.
Mm-hmm.
The soundbite is abstinence is not deliverance. Right? So abstaining from the behavior does not mean you're delivered in your heart. That's the first thing. The second thing is God says, love me, and then love your brother as yourself. Not just from the fact that how you want them to treat you, but understand that if you're loving yourself, there are things to look at and consider in your own life that is going on that you may not show up right all the time, not perfectly all the time. Well, that may be happening with that person too. They may just be having a moment. And as children of the Lord, we know that the spirit of obedience is operating in us. When we hear that and we operate in the love of God, it's very difficult to look at someone who's acting that way for me to just say, oh, my goodness, they just insulted me. For me, I'm thinking, wow, what kind of day are they having? How can I bless them?
Right. What are their
issues?
How
can I bless them?
How can I
pray
for them? How can I pray for them? How can I help them? You know, and by my behavior, by the way that you respond, then you are able to help somebody who's having a tough day. Because realize that in reality, we know, and Tina, you know, because you're a coach, that people act out because of their inner, act out outwardly because of their inner issues. You know, what's going on in the inside is always going to come out on the outside. So that's why it's important as being Christians that we make sure that we got the word on the inside. You know, the word will deliver you, Tina. You know that.
Amen.
You know the word. I don't care what nobody says. I was angry. I was a mean black woman. My sister that passed away, she told my husband when he met me, she told Pastor Andy, that's a mean black woman over there. She is mean, pointing at me. And that was 14 years ago. I was so mean, so evil and wicked, you know, in my ways. And I was just, you know, a wild child, and you couldn't tell me nothing, you know. And I believed in God, but didn't think I needed Jesus. You know, I had my own little relationship with God that allowed me to do all kinds of sin. So I can relate to people that say, well, I have my own relationship with God, but yeah, still I'm cursing and still I'm fornicating and still I'm doing whatever I feel like doing. I'm lying and I'm stealing and I'm cheating, you know, but I have my relationship with God. But yeah, you know, the thing about it is I've been there, but there's nothing like the relationship with God that I have through Jesus Christ. That I love God. Tina, you said something else, and I love you being here. You said that if I love God and love my neighbor as myself, that's going to change things. And that definitely has made a difference in my life. When I realized that I love God, not because, even because of who he is, but because he first loved me in my wretchedness. You know, I love him because he first loved me, and then he taught me to love myself even before I love my neighbor, because loving yourself comes second. So when you're loving yourself then, and you're loving on God, then your neighbor gets the overflow. So now I'm loving you out of the overflow. You know, and it was that love of God that drew me and turned my heart towards repentance. And you said something about deliverance. My God. Abstinence is not deliverance, but abstinence is what God requires of us, okay?
Yes.
So you can be, I don't care, I'm not giving you no excuses today. You may not be delivered, but you, God does want you to abstain from wickedness.
Amen. Deliverance comes through abstention in obedience. Yes. You sit there and you wonder, what am I doing this for? Now, if you just abstain for the it's like if you fast without the Spirit of the Lord directing you, you're just on a hunger strike. Still fast. Still fast. But have the Lord lead you. Have the Lord speak to you. Whether you're fasting your flesh, fasting from the things you see in your eyes, fasting from food, living a fasted life, right? But do it with the Spirit of the Lord, because where you take away as obedience and worship and adoration to God, as you have made this stand, God begins to fill you up. It's just not being without. It's about being transformed by the renewing of the mind through the Word of God. It's about living a different life and having that revival going on every single day when you open your eyes and raise up your hands and say, Lord, Father, Abba, and He meets you right where you are. That's what it's about. It's not just about being miserable.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Honey Cheeks is in the room, and she's saying, can you repeat that? Honey Cheeks, would, call in, you know, call in, Honey Cheeks, 646-652-4832. Marcus, God bless you. And Marcus is saying he's abstinent, but he still
Amen.
Desires to have a woman. You know, and this is real talk. I mean, real talk. And see, Marcus, I appreciate that comment, because what you're saying is you're going against those desires, right?
Intentionally.
Intentionally. He's abstaining from the, and that's what you were saying. I guess he's piggybacking on what you were saying, Tina.
Amen. Amen. And see, there's a wonderful thing talking about abstinence. I've worked with the CareNet organization for over, I don't know, I guess it has to be 8 years now. And one of the things that I get to talk about in the public schools and as well as with women and women's conferences and youth conferences is the idea of abstinence. And what I've sort of realized in my mind is just to talk to people about abstention as an activity and not abstinence and purity as an action to change your life. Those are two very different things. Those are two different things, because unless we know why, unless we understand that we're honoring God through abstention, not just, I have to do this because my church told me to, I have to do this because my, no, we're doing this because we want to be in a pure walk before God so that we can continue to hear Him, that He can continue to speak to us. We don't want anything to dilute or convolute what the Lord is saying to us. It, our lives depend on it, moment by moment, minute by minute. Our lives depend on us having a clear signal from the Spirit of the Lord. That is the benefit
Amen.
Of discipline. The benefit of discipline is being open to the Spirit of the Lord that He can come in and talk to you and use you and work with you at any given time, not just to not have something.
That's
not
good.
Not just to not have it.
That's good. The benefit of obedience. The benefit of obedience is that you do not have your ability to hear from the Lord disrupted by the guilt and condemnation
Amen.
That comes from sin.
Amen.
So now you're not feeling like you're not worthy just because you went ahead and did something that you knew you had no business to do, because the accuser comes. As soon as you make
yeah.
a mistake and do something that you know you had no business doing, then the accuser, the Satan comes, the adversary comes to tell you and to taunt you and say, see, I told you you wasn't a Christian. I told you that you were not changed. I told you that you could not abstain. I told you that you didn't really love God. And then he accuses God, you before God. He goes to God and says, see there, just like Job, he's not righteous. She's not righteous. They don't love you. But when the accuser is accusing you, you can't hear God because the devil is accusing. Your guilt is speaking so loudly that you can't hear from God. And that's
right.
What Honey Cheeks said in the chat room. She says, wow, the guilt of sin blocks us from hearing from God. So, and I'm just saying what Tina said in another way, more simpler terms, because Tina is a biblical life coach, and her knowledge is just so wide, you know, about the workings of the inner man. And she speaks, you know, across the world on these topics that we're talking about. And Tina is, and she's an intellectual. She's very, you know, so we might have to keep up with Tina.
Yeah, keep upgrading. I want to jump in for clarity. And the word sin. We throw the word around, and see what happens with us with being familiar with words. We think we know what it means, but sometimes we don't. So when we think of sin, we need to think about anything that takes us away from God. So if God told you to abstain
That's
from
good.
Chocolate, if he said abstain from chocolate and you grab the Snickers bar, you are now moving away from God's plan.
Now, Tina, why would God tell me to abstain from chocolate? I'm sorry.
God.
I'm sorry.
We
need to
coach about that. You want to coach about that? We can do that offline, baby. We can do that offline.
I feel like
just
some chocolate right now. Question. So you just tempted me.
Oh, we'll pray about it in a minute. I promise. I'm not saying abstain from chocolate. It's just whatever the Lord has spoken to
See,
you about.
See, Honey Cheeks wants some chocolate too, Tina. See there?
Well, just go ahead and get your chocolate, and we pray the Holy Ghost on it.
Go ahead, Tina. Finish your point. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. You guys cracked me up. Okay, I'll say something else. Okra. Abstain from okra. If God tells you not to do that for that day, you are in disobedience. Not so much, ooh, bad boy, but now you can't hear God. The spirit of guilt, condemnation, sin, anger, those are loud voices. Those are loud voices speaking to us, where God has a still, small voice. So when we allow ourselves to get into a position to not hear our Father,
wow.
We allow ourselves to be in a position to not live in Zoe, or the life of God, to not be a miracle to someone, and to walk in covenant every single day. And that is the danger of it. And believe me, it's an everyday walk. This is not something that I had mastered 5 years ago, and I'm walking in it every day. Every day I'm saying, Lord, work with me. I pray the Lord's Prayer, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from wickedness. Deliver me from anything that will get me out of your way, that get me out of your love, get me out of your grace. I have to hear you, Father. I have to. My life depends on it. My life depends on it. So no one has arrived. You haven't arrived.
Right.
Every day is an upgrade. Every day you upgrade and you refresh and renew your mind through the Word of God, through worship, adoration, and prayer. So it's something that we talk about. But we need to really sort of get clear. I always say that as Christians, we check our brains at the door when we come to church. We've been through school. We've been some level of secondary education, right? So in that school, we've learned how to use a dictionary. We've learned how to research things to get grades.
Right.
It's the same thing in church. Don't just sit there with your eyes glazed over and going, yeah, and repeat things and parrot things. Let that word be in you and anchor itself. And then come out through you, through your life.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for my church. Let me give a shout out to NCCM.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. New Creation Christian Ministries. We're over in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And the people, you can shout out your church. Anybody that wants to call in, if you have a good church and you want to shout out your church, 646-652-4832. Because, you know, the church does get a bad report and a black eye when we have a lot of Christians who misrepresent the church. Let me just say it like
that.
But I thank God, Tina, you said something about checking your brain at the door. I thank God that we have a group of Christians coming to NCCM 3 times a week and sometimes 4 when we do street evangelism that come in with their notebooks and their Bibles. And they're ready to hear from God.
Amen.
They come ready to worship the Lord. They come ready. We shout, we dance, we sing, we do whatever we do. We worship the Lord because he's worthy of the worship, worthy of the praise. And they come to hear a word from the Lord. So it's just a mighty thing that to see the fruit. The Bible says you'll know a man by his fruit. To see the fruit that's being brought forth by the ministry, in the ministry. And it's not because of us. It's God working his will through us. But to see people growing in the Lord, and that's what we started with a few people, and now God is building, and that's what we want to see when we have the we pray for thousands, because we know that we have a pure ministry, and that the pure ministry needs to be imparted into the lives of the people. So we don't have a problem with saying, Lord, send us mega people. Send us a lot of people so that we can impart. Give us the opportunity to impart what you put in us into the lives of other people. But the few, God says, you've been faithful with the few. I'll put you in charge of many. And that's what God is saying today to somebody. The little things. God wants to trust you with the little things. He says if he can trust you with the little things, he's going to open up so much more in your life. If you would just allow God to speak to you and to hear his voice, and not to quench the voice of God, but to hear the voice of God and to work in obedience, to step out on faith to that word, then God's got so many blessings for you. There are so many blessings for you. This is not a grueling walk. This is not do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. This is about you having a perfect relationship with your Father, with our Father who is in heaven. God wants to bless you. That's why we're here. That's why we're pouring out our hearts today, because God wants to bless you mightily. Amen?
Mm-hmm. And look at it as a point of stewardship, not a point of pain and the have-tos. You know, as women, we sit around and we do our checklist of the have-to. I have to do this. I have to do that. But it's really a point of stewardship, so it doesn't become a point of having to count up all the little things, saying that it's few, because it's huge to God. It's huge. He took a little tiny seed as a point of faith representation for us, the mustard seed, the smallest one, to show us that as it goes in the ground, that little tiny seed, it dies. And then as it dies and ferments in the ground, the roots grow. And when the roots grow and take anchor, it begins to grow up into a huge, massive plant. So when you think about having charge over the few things, it's a point of preparation. It's also a point of mercy so that you are being trained, you're being educated to handle it. It's not a point of saying, boy, I only have a few. Thank God for what he has put in your hands so that you can do this thing in power at this seed form. So as the harvest comes forward, you are prepared, and
Amen.
You've met the right people. You know how we say about timing, I wish you would hurry up? But I've learned to trust God and know that he's about people. He's about relationships. So there's people I haven't met yet on my way to that place called there that God needs me to connect with, because we're a unified body. We need each other, and we feed each other.
Yeah.
And sometimes that delay is not a denial. It's just a delay. Because there's people along the way, his children. He don't care about your cars and your houses. He doesn't care about any of that. But there's people along the way that he needs to bring you into fellowship with so the work can get done powerfully and in excellence according to the giftings that God has imparted to them.
Amen. Praise God. And we have a church shout-out, Truth and Deliverance International Ministries, Chicago, Illinois. Amen. And that's from Marcus Boston. Marcus, who's your pastor? Amen. And the good church, you know, because there are some good churches out there. And Tina, we have 8 minutes. Look, if anybody wants to call in, the phone lines are still open, 646-652-4832. What's on your mind today? You know, we want to really, really begin to talk about some of the topics. As we go forward, we'll be talking about a lot of relevant issues to women, you know, such as being the wife that these men are looking for, you know, such as being dealing with our parenting issues. Today we really talked about dealing with your temper and being prepared, the preparation, being prepared to do the great work that God has called you to do. And I have to add to what Tina was saying, you know, your preparation is also a part of you actually doing the work. You know, as you're doing the work, as you're moving forward, you're still being prepared. So
Amen. So
just because you start somewhere and it's a small start or it's a slow start, or you may feel inadequate where you are, or you're not getting the results that you want, then that doesn't mean that you give up and stop trying. That means that you keep moving forward, because as you persevere, as you continue to move forward in faith, God's going to groom you, he's going to prune you, he's going to try you, and he's going to grow you. And God eventually will prove you to the point where you have gotten to the point where you are now ready for everything that God has for you. Not only is he putting people in place, not only is God putting the people in place that you need to be lined up with in order to do the work that he has called you to do, woman of God and man of God, but God is also putting the character in place and the spiritual fruit. He's making sure that you are bearing the fruit that is meet for for salvation. You know, he's making sure that you're saved for real, so that you don't lose your salvation once you reach success. Once you reach the point of I've gotten to the point where now people know my name. Now I have my name up in lights. I have that bestseller book. I have the CD that's off the charts. Now I have a ministry where the church is full and people are waiting to get into the second service. You know, while God is getting you there, now I have a radio broadcast that is so crowded that it's blowing all of the circuits on Blog Talk Radio. But before you get there, God is making sure that you're ready to do the job according to his will, not your will, but according to his perfect will, not his permissive will, not what he allows, but what he desires. So we have to realize that God wants you to be, he wants you to be sure that you're not going to lose your salvation. God's not going to bless you right out of your salvation. He's not going to bless you to the point where you walk away from him and walk away from the church and walk away from being holy and pure. And when you walk away from glorifying him, God's not going to bless you like that. So sometimes that wait, that delay is wait on the Lord and grow. Let me grow you. Let me prune you. Let me take away some of the stuff out of your life that's no good for you. So sometimes it hurts, though. Amen. Sometimes it hurts. Tina? Amen. Praise God. I don't know if I lost Tina. Pastor Anthony, are you there?
Yes.
Amen. I think I lost Tina. But sometimes it hurts when God is pruning you. And that's what we're talking about. Don't kick against the goads. You know, in other words, God might be trying to remove some people from your life. And I want to talk to the women for a minute. God, we have some men in the room who are looking for a wife. And you know, the thing, we got some single men in the room. And the thing about it is, you say, how can you have single Christian men looking for a wife when hearsay says that all of the good men are taken, or they're married, or they're gay, or they're in jail? Well, I see three Christian men who are single and who are living for the Lord, and yet they haven't found a wife. Yet they're not able to find a wife. Now, what's the problem with that? You know, how is it that these men go to church, and they're in churches full of women, but they have not found that good thing? And they're interacting with Christians. So now my question to you becomes, are you the good thing? Are you allowing yourself to be that good thing? Is that man watching you and shaking his head saying, no, she's not the one. She has too much of a temper. Or she dresses like a harlot. Or I don't know if I can trust her because she's too flirtatious. You know, what is that man saying about you, single woman, when he looks at you? And that's my word to the women today, that keep listening, keep coming back to woman, because God wants to prepare you. He wants to get you ready to be that wife. He wants to get you ready for the ministry that he's called you to do. Amen?
Amen, amen. And I want to add something right quick to that. When we start looking at good wife, good man, good this, good that, we're talking about marriage. We're not talking about an event. Change is a process. It's not an event. Having these conversations about your character in public, it's all a matter of fidelity. Now, when we think of infidelity, we think about cheating, we think about this. It's really an attitude of heart. And the only way we can define whether or not we're faithful to God, faithful to his call, is to look inside of ourselves and be everything that we need to be. Then God will send that help me to complete the call and the mission called family, which is the first institution he created in your life.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And you heard Tina. She said, be all that you can be. Look, don't feel like you have to play small just to fit into certain circles. Don't feel like you have to compromise your faith just to fit into certain circles. Dare to be all that God has created you to be.
Amen.
Now, I want to read what Marcus has in the chat room. Marcus says, last week at church, a single sister started a conversation with him, and he admits that this is a woman that he's had his eye on. However, she started talking about a relationship she knows she shouldn't be in. And he says he couldn't believe it. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. Thank you, Marcus. That's exactly what we're talking about. Look, get the garbage out of your life. And that includes men that you know You should not be involved in. Get that married man out of your bed and get out of that hotel room.
Okay.
I'm going to say it like this because too many of us are creeping. We're creeping, and we know we have no business creeping. We're women of God. We're supposed to be, and that's what we're saying, let God have your heart. If you give God your heart, then you'll be able to give your husband your heart. You'll be able to give that man
trust.
Your heart. And God will be able to trust you. See, God's not going to put his man of God in your life if you can't be trusted with that man of God. My God, we only have 58 seconds remaining. You know, I pray that something that Tina and I have said today has blessed you. We have 49 seconds. We're going off the air. Tina, any last 30-second, 10-second, what you call sound bite?
Well, here's a quick one. Love the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Work, personal, heart, parenting, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Point blank, period. That
Amen.
Covers the sum total of everything that we have discussed.
Amen. Praise God. And Honey Cheeks was saying that women are so desperate. So my sound bite is, know who you are in God. You are wonderfully and fearfully made, and God has a great plan for your life. You don't have to be desperate, and you don't have to settle. We're going to talk about that next week. Amen. Praise God. So
Amen.
Join us next week right here on Woman to Woman. Tina, I've been blessed. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and having a great time.
Amen. It's too short. But I'll see you on next Thursday right here as my guest on Woman to Woman. Amen. Have a blessed day. And remember, everybody who's listening, to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my sister, and even you too, my brothers, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.